T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Former NFL coach, now with NFL Network, Brian Billick. And Brian, how you doing, man? Thanks for joining us.
Doing great.
Coach, you know, it's been a rough week for the Browns. Obviously, there was so many expectations. You had the Browns. Well, let's start with the game. I mean, they just got absolutely destroyed by the Titans this Sunday. Was that surprising? Maybe not necessarily that they lost, but just how they lost that game. Sloppy 18 penalties. What did you make of that game this weekend?
Well, let's remember, the Titans are a pretty good football team. I mean, they've been a 9-win team for the last 3 years, looking to make that next step to 10, 11 wins and into the playoffs. So, you know, there's no shame in losing to a good, solid team. The two things that jump out when you look at the game, yes, the penalties for one, because you're going to have a tough time overcoming 18 penalties for 180-plus yards. Plus, they were the Browns were 1 of 10 on third down. That's hard. You know, that's hard to maintain drives when you can't convert on third down. So that's obviously got to be the biggest challenge. I mean, Baker Mayfield, obviously the 3 interceptions, he's trying to make something happen. But that's always been, and clearly the Browns have been the darling of the league in terms of, boy, this is going to be a good team, and they're going to win the AFC North. If Baker Mayfield can keep the completion percentage above 60%, 2-1 touchdown interception ratio like he was at the end of last year, then, yeah, things are going to be good. But you can't be 1 touchdown with 3 interceptions, not convert on third down. You're not going to beat a lot of teams.
Where do you think the penalties come from in a situation like that? You know, people talk about teams being undisciplined, lack of focus. Is it all the players? Is it the coaches? Is it go back to how they prepare for the season and some of the aggressive penalties, right? I mean, they had a bunch of fights during training camp and during the preseason. Can you change, like, overnight, Coach? Can you go from an undisciplined team that has 18 penalties one game to then this game really being disciplined?
Well, it's the nature of the penalties as a coach. Obviously, if the penalties are snap to whistle, by that I mean holding, pass interference, the like, okay. Mm-hmm. You know, that's going to happen. And yeah, you're constantly trying to make sure you're using the proper techniques. It's the pre and post snap that drive you nuts as a coach. Obviously, mm-hmm. illegal procedure, jumping off sides, illegal formation, post snap in terms of late hits, those types of things. Those are the ones that you've got to get a handle on. You've got to get your team to understand the cost of that. That regardless of anything else, it's hard overcome 18 penalties and 180 yards. I don't care who you are. And that there's a cost to that. So that discipline in terms of the pre and the post snap, you know, the snap to whistle, yeah, you play hard. You got to be smart with your technique. You know, that's something you're always working on.
We're talking with former NFL head coach, Super Bowl champ, Brian Billick is with us right here on The Fan. Coach, after the game, you know, people, it became a story that Odell Beckham Jr. was wearing like a $300,000 watch during the game. And this is obviously some of the drama you get with him. Obviously, to me, a lot of the good outweighs the bad. But, you know, it's minor things like this. And maybe he's fine from the league. Now he's annoyed that he's getting questions by it. Is this a story, a non-story? What do you make of this?
It's a non-story, but that makes it a story. I mean, at the end of the day, and I've said this many, many times, and this is where sometimes certain players have a tough time understanding that these actions have consequences with regards to it's hard to win in the NFL. It really is. Even if you're a good team playing well, and every second, every minute, you're not focused on the task at hand. And that's why you hear coaches all the time do the Belichickian, hey, we're all about this week. We're all about the Jets. We don't talk about that, any of the stuff. Well, unfortunately, you don't have a say in it because the media, the fans, they are. And if you provide fodder for distraction, it's going to be out there. And to think that you're just going to ignore it, that your teammates are going to ignore it, you're asking a lot of them. So every second you're not preparing for the task at hand, which in this case is the New York Jets, that's a second that diminishes your chance to win the game. And those that want to conduct themselves in a certain way, I mean, if he wants to wear a $300,000 watch, I don't care. But if it's against the rules and you shouldn't be doing it, don't be doing it and move on. Don't you know, this should not be something that distracts from the team, but to pretend that it doesn't is, I think, you're fooling yourself.
Mm-hmm. Coach, today Odell talks about Greg Williams and says he's a dirty coach, says he teaches his players to take cheap shots, says that game 2 years ago in the preseason that he told players to take him out of the game. Do you like the comments? The comments out of line? And just, again, more things to talk about with Odell, right?
Yeah. I mean, what's your purpose here? What are you trying to achieve? Yeah, I mean, obviously they're going to play within the rules. When you say, and I'm not defending Greg Williams, we all know what the history is and whatever, but any number of teams, when you start out on a Wednesday morning and you present to your team the tasks, and, okay, we got to take this best player out of the game. Now, that doesn't mean we're going to illegally try to hurt him. It just simply says we're going to do everything we can, whether we double him, we roll to him, we get physical with him. We got to take him out of his game. We got to take him out of the game. When you're playing a team with J.J. Watt in Houston, we got to take him out of the game, meaning we got to double him. We got to chip with him. We can't let him take the game over. To intimate that that's dirty, the officials are there. They'll take care of that. Again, my question would be, what are you trying to accomplish? I mean, what are we going to accomplish by bringing something like this up?
Yeah, it's a good question. It is now. Yeah, you said you mentioned we know Greg Williams' history. I don't know that it matters in the game, but do you think it gives bulletin board material to the Jets?
Oh, I don't know. I've never put much stock in bulletin board material, which is now text material, I guess. Yeah, the old bulletin board's dead because it all flows through the text. I don't know that the players really like I said. My point would be every minute you're not focused on doing those tactical and strategical things that it takes to win, you're aiding and abetting the enemy, even if it's positive or reacting to whatever. So, no, I don't think from the Jets' standpoint, if they're smart, that they're going to give much credence to it.
Speaking of the Jets, Coach, Sam Darnold, it was announced today, has mono and will not play in the game. How, you know, Trevor Siemian is a veteran. He's started a lot of two seasons for the Broncos. How big a drop-off do you think it is for the Jets to go from Sam Darnold to Trevor Siemian?
I don't know if it's a drop-off because Trevor Siemian is a veteran that's played a lot of games. He's a good game manager. I know quarterbacks hate to be called that. I don't know that he's a guy that you can throw the game on his back and make him throw it 40, 45, 50 times. He's going to win for you. But he's a good serviceable. If you play good defense, you run the ball, he's going to make fairly good decisions. Sam Darnold's still in that progression. So I don't know right now if there's that huge difference between he and Sam Darnold, other than Sam Darnold's the starter. This offense has been wrapped around him. That's where all the focus has been. So from that standpoint, sure, there's apt to be a little bit of a difference.
If the Browns can't win this game, they go to 0-2, should we start to panic, or is it still too early to have those thoughts?
Well, we just came through week one where it's typical. You got half the league right now making arrangements, Super Bowl arrangements.
Yeah,
and you got the other half that thinks the world has ended. And we're going to get to the end of week two where half the teams that are 1-0 are probably going to have losses, or at least a third of them. We maybe have 8 or 9 teams that will be 2-0. And you point to the stats and say, well, last year, 5 of the 12 teams that made the playoffs lost their first game. So, yeah, you can look at that in retrospect and say, okay, well, it's not panic after one game. But the hard thing is in the NFL, you only got 16 games. And with each week, and you'll start to hear the pundits talk about the percentages in terms of if you're 0-1, what are your chances of going to the playoffs compared to 0-2, compared to 0-3. With only 16 games, this is not like Major League Baseball where I can go 0-4 a couple games in a row. 2 days later, I got a chance to bat myself out of the slump when it's 182 games or whatever it is, 186 games. In the NFL, you only got 16 games. So at some point, okay, yeah, you can lose a game. You can lose 2 games. You can lose 3 games. And all of a sudden, it's, okay, Now you need to get concerned here. And that's the challenge for the Browns, where the high expectations coming in is now when you face that challenge, it's where do you lean on? Who do you look to that has that institutional and team knowledge to say, look, we're okay. We've been here before. We'll work a way out of it. I don't know if there's a lot of people in and around the Browns right now that can say that, and that's got to be the concern. The only way to do it is to just win your way out of it.
Coach, quick thought, if you would, on the other teams in the AFC North. The Steelers got, mauled by the Patriots. The Ravens destroyed the Dolphins. Lamar Jackson had a great game against what we think is the worst team in football. Bengals played pretty well but lost to Seattle. What'd you think of the other three teams in the division in the week one?
Well, same thing. Pittsburgh's going to be better than what we saw against New England, and it was New England in New England, so let's remember that.
Yeah.
The Ravens were spectacular, and I did the Ravens preseason game. The combination of what they're doing, what was spectacular is, and they're prepared for Lamar Jackson to run the ball 160, 170 times this year, which is unprecedented. The key is, can they stay healthy? What was impressive is he only had to run three times. He was efficient from the pocket. He had five touchdowns. He had six plays of 20 yards or more to five different receivers. That bodes well for them. And they're playing Arizona. I'm going to be fascinated. I'm going up to do the pregame show for the network from M&T Bank Stadium. I'm going to be fascinated to see the game because Kyler Murray against Detroit, with all due respect to Detroit, he's now going to face a real NFL defense. I'm going to be fascinated to see how Kyler Murray, who had to throw the ball 54 times, holds up against this Raven defense, which is as advertised. They're as solid as ever. So this is going to be a very interesting game, and I think the Ravens kind of serve notice. Now, obviously, we've got to play a lot more games. We've got to see if Lamar Jackson can continue this. Miami, I just don't see a game on their schedule that they're going to win. I'm sure they will, but I don't see it. They're going to have to be tested in other ways. But they certainly were spectacular in that first game.
Coach, we appreciate it. Thank you. We'll talk to you again soon.
Sounds good.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.